Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. And today I have a very special guest, and I hope she can stay the whole hour because there's so much to ask her about. And her name is Daniela Diub Forrest, and the name of her book is Own Your Wellness, Giving You the Tools to Break Through Your Health Plateaus. Oh boy, a big title and an important book. Hi, Daniela.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. Wow, what a book. I don't know where to start. It's just packed with information. And one of the things, I know that my listeners enjoy these books because everybody's always looking for ideas on wellness. And I've had a lot of diet books on, I've had a lot of different kinds of books, but what I really like about this is it is comprehensive, and you answer so many of the questions that people ask. And let's just find out a little bit first about yourself and your own road to developing this book, because it is something that you really worked hard on.
Yeah, thank you. I really wanted to give people some clarity on all of the bombardment of health information out there. It can be very overwhelming when you hear a new headline every single day, your best friend is trying a new supplement, your spouse is trying a new diet, whatever it is, how do you know what's right for you? And that's what this book is designed to do, is to help you parse through all that chaos and apply these principles to your life and create your own wellness journey. This is what I do with my one-on-one health coaching clients on a regular basis. And I wanted to be able to give this to a broader audience. I can't work with everybody one-on-one, but we all need help navigating through our lives and making the right changes to feel better.
Many of my listeners being writers, they're sedentary a great deal of the time. And sometimes they spend 8 to 10 hours at the computer. And more than a few of them have associated health problems of not getting up.
Oh, the irony of the,
yeah,
the challenges to write a health book and then to feel less healthy because you're writing a health book. It's just remarkable.
It is. One of the things that really intrigued me, because this was new to me, your approach. And I liked what I read, and I did not understand. I had never heard of the term functional diagnostic nutrition. And I discovered it's FDN, and apparently it's well known, but I didn't know about it. You started off just as a regular trainer in a health club or something like that. How did that happen? And what does it mean to be an FDN?
So I started off as a personal trainer in the early aughts, and it was wonderful to be helping people achieve a new level of health and wellness. But a lot of them look the same. We were training 3, sometimes 4 days a week together, and they weren't really making changes. And I realized that, okay, I was missing the nutrition part of this equation. So I went back to school and studied that. And I could give people better information on how to make adjustments. But there were still so many people who didn't feel well. They had stomach issues, or they weren't sleeping at night. They had skin issues. You name the problem. And so when I found functional diagnostic nutrition, I was able to have this whole new set of tools to test people. What's happening with your gut? What's happening with your hormones? What's happening at the cellular level? Are you able to detoxify? Are your mitochondria healthy? There's a whole new world of opportunity to uncover these hidden stressors in people's lives that are preventing them from feeling like the best version of themselves.
It combines a lot of different elements then. Is that the whole,
very much
whole idea?
Yeah, so we look under the hood, so to speak, not just superficially, but what is really happening inside your body? What are all these problems that we're dealing with, whether it's a rash or foggy thinking or an inability to lose weight maybe? These are all signals that your body's giving you that something else is going on. Now I can help people figure out what that something else is.
Most people think to lose weight, if you just stick to a 1,200 calorie a day diet, that should do it.
Yeah, unfortunately, it can actually cause the opposite to happen. When we are super stressed out, And we signal to the body that nutrition is not necessarily coming all the time, that we're not going to have an overabundance of it, and that we're constantly running away from the last fire, the body's not going to lose weight. I can't tell you how many men and women in their 40s and 50s I have talked to who are barely eating anything. And they're not sleeping enough. They're dealing with elderly parents. They're dealing with children. They're dealing with work stress. And they're seemingly doing everything right. But the signal that their body is getting is, this house is on fire. We're not comfortable. So it's going to hold on to every ounce of food that you eat. Now, we teach the person to do some stress management and to get some regular exercise and do all these other things. But then we also have to look at what's happening. Are they able to even digest the proteins that they're eating and the fats that they're eating? Are they getting enough vitamins and minerals? And once we start to untangle this process, lo and behold, people start dropping weight finally, and often eating sometimes twice as many calories as they were before.
People get different stories, different, like they are told exactly this 1,200 calories, which I know it doesn't work, because if you eat 1,200 calories of, like, the sandwich one, the McDonald's one, and then I think somebody did a Kentucky Fried Chicken one, and they stuck exactly to the 1,200 calories. So they might have eaten just a bucket of chicken, but it didn't work. It just didn't work.
Right, and what your body does with different inputs, even if it's the same caloric intake, it's not the same. You're eating a bowl of broccoli, that's three cups, that's maybe 150 calories, okay? You're going to be sick to your stomach by the time you finish three cups of broccoli. But you could very easily drink a soda worth 300 calories, and your body's going to do very different things.
That's where you have to cut through everything, and that's what your book is doing. I was a kickboxer for years. I went every morning at 5 a.m. I trained with a Marine, and he was great. And then I had an injury, and the minute I stopped doing that, and because my injury involved my ankle, it really changes everything. Before that, I had no problem keeping the weight off. I went through some of these different diets, paleo one, which is okay for me because I love steak. I could eat steak every day. but still, it's always now a challenge.
And your example is perfect for the conversation about we have to make adjustments. Life is evolving. You're not going to be able to go to that class 6 days a week for the rest of your life. So when the injury happens, instead of doing nothing, what are the things that you can do to keep moving on a daily basis? What adjustments can you make? Even if it's not as intense, a little bit is better than nothing, you know? And I think a lot of people fall into this trap of, it's all or nothing. If I can't get an hour-long workout in, I'm not going to bother, right? If I can't eat a perfect dinner tonight, I'll just start next month. No, make adjustments right now, little small adjustments, so that you're constantly inching yourself towards where you're trying to go.
And for your own journey, because people always want to know, where's she coming from? You were always perfectly thin and perfectly healthy and perfectly. it's real easy to tell other people to do it. But I think you did face some challenges in your own personal life that.
I did and I do. I continue to face challenges. So when I first started personal training, I was in my late 20s and I was very thin. But because I had been starving myself for many years. And what I didn't realize is that I had caused osteoporosis by the time I was in my late 20s. And I had a catastrophic break to my leg. I shattered a bone in my leg. And then I found out how bad my bones are. They were like an 80-year-old bone. And this started me down a whole new path of learning why those years of being too thin, of eating fat-free diets, of doing cardio for an hour and a half every day, had literally started to kill me. I had to make huge adjustments to my health and my choices as I moved forward. I developed hypothyroidism. I had, my hormones were in the tank. The list goes on and on. And I'm still making adjustments now. I'm 47 years old. So 20 years later, and my bones are getting stronger. which is wonderful, but I have to continually make adjustments so that I don't lose the game and so I can keep moving myself forward. And my challenges inform my decisions with my clients or my help with my clients. The more I learn about my own health, the more I can help other people. So no, I'm far from perfect, but I guess that would be boring.
I think it's important that people know that even what you said about your bones are getting healthier, because people get this attitude that nothing's going to work out. It's just not going to work out. And that negativity is really such a challenge to overcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And the negativity will inform those decisions too. I put a part in the back of the book where I help people envision, what does my ideal life look like? And if you take yourself through that practice, and there's lots of spots throughout the book that allow you to take a moment, take what you've just learned and apply it to your own life. But in this particular part, I think it's important that you have a vision for yourself. What would it feel like to be in my ideal body? What would it feel like to have the job of my dreams, to live in the house of my dreams, whatever that is? And really see that. And when you can internalize that feeling, it changes the way you make decisions throughout the day, because you start wanting to become that better version of yourself. I do this several times throughout the week, and I can't tell you how many times I've had to change my visions because they came true already.
What I like about the book also is the fact that you have this at the end, and in the book itself, you have these areas where people can write down and fill out a little form and answer some of the questions that you're asking them and getting them to focus on what's important to them.
Absolutely. And I've read dozens and dozens of health books just in the last year, right? And you always get these wonderful little nuggets of wisdom. And then what do you do with them? 9 times out of 10, I forget it the next week. And so exactly. I really wanted to design this book so that people don't forget. Yes, there's charts throughout the book for you to fill out and apply these principles to your life. And at the end of the book, you put it all together into a cohesive wellness plan for yourself. And I want people to reuse the book because, you know what? At some point, these things are going to stop working for you and you're going to have to make adjustments. So if you go to my website, there's a URL that corresponds with the book. You can download all of these charts and graphs and go through it all over again.
You have to keep it up. It's so difficult when you have these challenges. Often, as I said, it's weight, but there are the emotional challenges of just not feeling well, not having that energy that you had in your youth. But when you think of yourself as a child running around like crazy outside, you have to try to somehow get yourself back in that mode of feeling just your body is happy and you're feeling happy.
And that's really what we all want, is to just feel good in our own skin. To wake up in the morning and be happy in the body that we're in is a gift. And I think we all deserve that.
You have 5 chapters, but let's start with Nourish. My girlfriend went on a keto diet. I don't think that was her problem. I think her problem is she ate junk food all of her adult life. And something went out of balance with all of that.
If you go from eating a standard American diet that's mostly processed and junk food, and you go to any diet, you're going to feel better for a little while, right? Because you've cleaned out the junk, like you said. But after a while, you need to figure out, okay, is this actual diet program working for me? And I think that's a really important. It's hard to get outside of yourself and go, oh, yeah, I lost a couple pounds, but now it's stuck. I've plateaued. What am I going to do next? And so I give people lots of ideas and tools to think about tweaking a diet. It doesn't mean that you need to go keto harder necessarily. Maybe you need to change it altogether. And one of the easiest ways I suggest that people do that is to change what they're eating by the season. I went to the grocery store yesterday, and all these beautiful fruits and vegetables are on special that are in season. If I'm going to change the profile of the produce I'm eating right now because of what's in season, what's on special, I get a little bit of a good deal. And then those will be completely different fruits and vegetables in the fall and in the winter. And that's one way that you can adjust your diet. And I actually line up for people. Okay, maybe you eat a little higher fat during the winter. Maybe you eat a little bit lower fat during the summer, higher protein, and give them some just some easy ways to make adjustments so that they don't stagnate, so that they don't get stuck in these ruts.
It doesn't really help if you every day you eat the same thing. Mentally, it doesn't help. It really doesn't.
Mentally or nutritionally, right? Because you're not ever getting different vitamins and minerals. It's the body needs a whole variety of nutrition. I remember when I was a kid, my mom would talk about eating a rainbow. And it's really important because all those different colors have different nutrition profiles and give our bodies different types of vitality.
Of course, your mom was something special. So her suggestion, you have to mention what your mom was.
Yes. Well, yeah, she was funny because my husband put that in the foreword and she's, oh my gosh. She was Miss Texas 1975, and she was actually fourth runner-up in Miss USA a few months later. And she's 68 years old, and she walks into a room and people's jaws just drop. And the best part about her, she has no idea how beautiful she is. And she just glows. She doesn't do any plastic surgery. She doesn't follow wild diets. She just moves every day. She sleeps, and she has a wonderful life, and she enjoys her life. And that in of itself creates so much beauty from within.
Well, I think that's so cute. I think that just knowing that you come from somebody who, as you said, she gave you good advice, eating the rainbow. It's great advice.
It's simple. It's so simple. And again, this is part of the reason I wrote this book is we've made things so complicated. People are counting their macros and the number of grams of this and that and the other thing. No, just eat real food. Give your body what it knows how to process, use for energy, and you'll just feel so much better and move every day. I do go into some detail in the book about ways that you can quantify, you know, things that are going on with you. Because if you're not testing and measuring to some extent, when you're having some real issues, it's hard to make adjustments until you know what you're dealing with. So doing things like food logging can serve its place depending on what your goals are. I have people who are doing all the right things, right? But their diet still needs some tweaking. And for those people, it is helpful to spend a few weeks and log those foods and see, am I getting enough fiber? How much protein am I actually eating? Things like that. Once you figure out what that looks like, then it's nice to stop logging and just let your body enjoy the food that you're eating. Yeah.
Live your life. So when we talk about nourishing and nourishing foods, you mentioned where some people will take out all fats from their diet, which is not good. Some people will eliminate certain things, and that's not good. You have to have a kind of balance. Now, explain what are good fats, what fats you should be eating, things like that, so that people understand a little bit more about the dynamics of that.
Sure. I'm old enough to remember when we all went fat-free in the late 80s, early 90s. And I followed that idea for a really long time. The problem with it is you can't absorb most of your minerals, fat-soluble vitamins. That's a big reason why my bones suffered, is eating so low fat. We also need to be able to make some cholesterol. And we all watched people get fatter and fatter as we ate less and less fat. When I was a little kid, there were not a lot of obese people around. And we used to eat lots of butter and lard and all these wonderful, yummy things, oils and fats. But we stopped doing that in the late 80s and 90s. And everybody started gaining weight. You know why? Because we were eating more sugar. And I go into kind of a history of the nutrition guidelines over the last century. I think it's important for people to understand where these guidelines are coming from and how they're being adjusted. And so when I found out I had osteoporosis, I had to change how I was eating and incorporate more healthy fats into my diet. And so we use that term a lot, healthy fats. Really, if it comes from nature, it's healthy, right? People have gotten stuck in their heads that saturated fat is going to kill us and give us heart disease. That, too, has been disproven in the last couple of decades. Avocado, butter, olives. These are all healthy fats. Yes, they're unprocessed. They just come from nature the way they are. When we get into things like seed oil that are basically the byproducts of processing, canola oil is one of the worst. We get into major inflammation. It changes the way our cholesterol is shaped, which means it's less healthy and it's more likely to stick to the sides of our arteries. I thought it was important to go into some detail in the book about how these things pan out when you're actually eating them on a regular basis, and to take some of the fear away from eating fat. I wish we had a different word for it, because the fat that you eat that you put in your mouth doesn't always go straight to the fat. It needs to be, we just need to call it lipids like they do in Europe.
Years ago, I just stopped all those other oils and stuck with olive oil, because I got worried about what they were doing with those oils that they kept pushing on us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And with this idea that we're going to look at our food, and that's one of the things that you do in looking at how to nourish your body, what are some of the supplements that they want you to take and they tell you must take? First of all, I was shocked when you said that you got osteoporosis so young. It just, I didn't know that could happen. It's frightening. What are all these things that they tell you to take, CoQ10 and all of these other things? Where do they fit into being healthy?
I get this question a lot, and it's important that I give people a framework to think about, is this vitamin, mineral, whatever kind of supplement it is it going to enhance my health journey? Is it going to help me get to my goal? So you have to ask yourself that question first. And then do a little research to figure out, okay, if I take this, is it going to interfere with other medications that I'm taking? Is it going to cause nutrient deficiencies in other vitamins and minerals? Because that can happen. And I break down water-soluble vitamins, fat-soluble vitamins, minerals, throughout that last chapter called Enhance. And I give people just this framework to work with. Is it a certified, is it made by a good manufacturer, right? Has it been inspected? How is it being stored? I don't recommend you buy fish oil that's been sitting on a cabinet for months and months in a warehouse. That's going to be oxidized and maybe make you sick. So it's really important that we take into account, is it going to help me? How should I combine it? And how should I strategically put it into my regimen? Don't start taking 5 new supplements tomorrow, right? Start with one, see how your body does with it for a few days, and then layer in the next one. And I even help people with a chart so that they can line up for themselves. Okay, here's the most important supplement I'm going to start taking. Here's why I'm taking it. Here's the dosage. Okay, here's the next one. Because I think you need to apply some scientific method to these things. They are very powerful. They can make a huge difference in your health, positive and negatively.
Your bones were weak. So did you start taking calcium pills right away? What was the advice for you?
You're going to get me going on this one. I'm in my late 20s. And at the time, I was eating Greek yogurt for breakfast. I was snacking on cheddar cheese in the afternoon. Tons of dairy in my life. Okay. And I was exercising all the time. I was not overweight. And the doctor told me I needed to take calcium. And I'm like, but that's all I eat half the day. So I decided to start doing some research. And it turns out calcium is not where it's at when it comes to getting your bones strong. You need a whole complement of minerals to get into your bones and mineralize them appropriately. And you also need vitamins like K2, which tells your system where to deposit the calcium. Because you don't want it ending up in your arteries. You don't want it ending up in your kidneys or in your joints. And none of that information is out there. And to this day, I still have clients whose doctors tell them to take calcium. That is not going to help make their bones stronger. It's not about the calcium. It's about the mineral deposition and the bone turnover. And so I've made it a project of mine for the last couple of decades to figure out the right combination of things to help my bones get stronger. I needed to stop doing cardio all day long and breaking myself down and start lifting heavy weight so that I can make those bones stronger. There's so many pieces that go into that well beyond calcium.
But I did start thinking about my bones, and they did start saying, take calcium. But there was something in me. One of my doctors did give me this idea to take a really heavy dose of calcium. And I don't know, instinctively, I just felt that wouldn't be good. My grandfather was a dairy farmer, so we were not lacking in dairy. We didn't overdo it. I felt that just loading my body on this gigantic quantity of calcium didn't make sense.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And there's a lot of bio-individuality here, but there's a fair amount of our population cannot even eat dairy, right? Asians, African-Americans, myself, don't do great with large amounts of dairy. So how is it that's the only way to get our bones strong? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. The cows don't eat dairy and they've got strong bones. So
yeah, exactly.
I got that idea that somehow, I hate to say this, but sometimes the doctors really need to read this book, and doctors really need more work in FDN, because they don't ask patients, like, are you eating all this junk food?
They don't have time for that. What I do is I fill that gap between patient and doctor. Very often, I'm part of that team, because the doctor doesn't have the time or the wherewithal to check up on you on how you're eating breakfast and how you're exercising and all these things, right? They've got 10 or 15 minutes with you. And if you tell them you're not exercising, you're not eating a healthy breakfast, what are they going to do about it, right? Like, they can't give you a prescription to fix that. But I can be there. I'm that in-between person. That's exactly what this book and what FDN is all about, is helping to fill that gap between your doctor and yourself and Dr. Google, so that we take the confusion out and we streamline it just for your personal chemistry.
Yeah, because Dr. Google is really dangerous.
Oh, so dangerous. I get in trouble with it myself.
No, it is dangerous because you look up things and you obsess on one little thing and you miss sort of the whole big picture, which is what, obviously, that's why you study. You took a course, right? There's a course in FDN to really understand nutrition.
And it was really intensive. And I continue to study. I got certified in 2017. But there's new testing coming out all the time. There's new information. It's a very quickly evolving sphere. And I'm constantly doing continuing education courses because I need to stay on top of what's the latest and greatest. And when I have clients coming to me and asking me about this new supplement or this new drug or this new whatever, I need to know about it. I need to know how it's going to affect people.
With this whole subject, if people have not heard of something like functional diagnostic nutrition, and their doctors certainly don't tell them anything about nutrition, they don't even ask the simplest questions. This doctor who told me take calcium, you know, and I was like, I don't remember the milligrams or whatever, but it was like the highest dose of calcium you could ever take. And it just seemed wrong. And I thought, where'd this come from? I looked at your website, I see what you do. And one of the things I mentioned, CoQ10, everybody's talking about take CoQ10, and it goes through these phases where somebody will say a certain actress took this and made her skin glow. That's what you should be taking.
And obviously, I couldn't go into every single vitamin and mineral and supplement in the world in that book. But I wanted to, again, give people, what is the basic framework? Okay, so do a little Google search. It's okay. See what the supplement is for. See how it works in the body. And then ask, does this cause nutrient deficiencies in other things? Does this conflict with my statin or my blood pressure medication or my thyroid medication, whatever it is you're on? Because it's really important that you do that homework before you put that next pill into the mix. It's amazing to me. I can get people to spend hundreds of dollars on supplements, asking them to eat a cleaner diet or to exercise every day. They give me pushback. So the reason that chapter is at the end of the book is because it's so important that we eat well and we move every day before we ever sprinkle in all these other things.
Exactly. And you have that in your book. You have a whole chapter about move. Just move, get up and move. What I've done, because I spend a lot of time on the computer or I'm reading a book, but I now set an alarm on my iPhone. I set the alarm, and every 20 minutes it goes off and I have to get up. I don't care what I'm working. I just get up and walk away from the computer. And I have a stepper just like right behind me practically. And I just get on that stepper and I'm now lifting weights too. Part of the home working from home, people are more on the computer. When you were in the office, you'd get up and you'd go, you'd walk around just to show some activity, show the boss you're doing something.
It's been really enlightening for me because until the pandemic, I was a personal trainer. I had my own studio in Mountain View, California. I worked sometimes 10 plus hour days on my feet with clients every day for many years. And I would come home exhausted. And then all of a sudden the pandemic happened and all of my sessions were on Zoom. And I was sitting at my desk and then I started writing this book and I was sitting at my desk. And now I do more health coaching than just training. I'm sitting at my desk half the day. And my body was like, whoa, what are we doing here? And to your point, I have to get up and stretch. I've already gotten up twice during our conversation just because sitting still is not my forte. And I have a new appreciation for what that does to the human body. It throws your neck out of alignment, your hips out of alignment. It's so important to get up just like you're doing and setting that alarm. Just, it doesn't have to be a big deal. You just, you know, walk around the house for a minute.
Yeah, no,
do a little squatting, something.
Exactly. I have a nice little tone. It just, okay. I say it's singing to me, Patsy, get up and move. And I do.
I think that's just great. Good for you.
And it really works. And as you said, I might use that as a moment to do something else, just clean or anything, just to make sure that I'm moving now. And I've been doing that now for a year and it has made an enormous, because I went through the pandemic too, where it was like, I couldn't go anywhere. So I was really spending too much time in the chair. If you spend too much time in the chair now, you're going to end up spending a lot of time in a wheelchair at some point in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. This doesn't have to be hard. You just keep it simple. I have a lot of people tell me, I don't even like to exercise. That's okay. But you're human. You have to move. Think of something that you can do. Could be as simple as walking. It could be push-ups against your wall. I give people lots of ideas for simple things that they can do to incorporate into their day. I have a gentleman who's paralyzed on the entire right side of his body. He sits in a wheelchair. He's 70 years old. You know what? We work out once a week, and I give him homework to do all the other days of the week. He gets his heart rate up. If he can do it, most of us can do it, right? There's something you can do to move your body.
I'm glad you mentioned heart rate. Now, are you, do you tell people to use that Oura Ring or keep constant monitoring of their blood pressure and stuff like that? Do you encourage that?
That's a great question. It depends on what you're going to do with the information, right? Again, I go into detail about all the different types of monitoring you could do, right? It could be as simple as just measuring your waist at your belly button, right? To see if you've moved the needle there. Getting on a scale, measuring your food, sure. I wear an Oura Ring. I love it. My husband wears something called a Whoop Band. And why? Because we're interested to know, are we moving enough through the day? And what is the quality of our sleep, right? And those are things that we want to make better. So we use that information. But there's no point in measuring something if you're not going to use it. If you're going to wear an Oura Ring or something like that to tell you what your HRV is and you find out it's in the toilet, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to be willing to make adjustments to your day, to your lifestyle, to move the needle? Because if not, there's no point in measuring it, right? Same thing with testing. I have people who reach out to me and they've done every test in the world with all these doctors all over. And they've spent thousands of dollars on testing. And they still feel terrible. You know why? Because they haven't made adjustments to the simple stuff. They didn't eat better. They didn't sleep better. They didn't move better. And again, the only testing that really matters is the things that you are going to do something with the information.
Well, I use a pedometer. I put it on in the morning and I want to make sure that I get enough steps in. It's amazing how quickly it adds up if you actually do that.
Yeah, and that awareness is nice. Like, I like to know that I've moved 5 miles today. And if I haven't, I try to push it so I get closer to that. It's important to me. I feel more active. I sleep better at night, which then my Oura Ring gives me better information the next morning. So, again, it's actionable things. And I give people a whole menu of options on things to track. And it depends on what your goal is. Is tracking this one thing going to help me reach my goal? It's really important that we go back to why we're doing stuff.
And knowing, for example, what affects your blood pressure, what makes it better or worse.
Exactly. If the doctor's telling you need to pay attention to that, then you should be paying attention to that and figuring out what are the things that are going to help you move it in the right direction. Maybe it's your blood sugar that's the problem. Maybe losing a few pounds will help. It's all of these things come. The other piece of that is nothing works by itself. None of these things are in isolation. They're all connected. And finding a way to connect these dots, this is what I do all day long, is I help people connect the dots of how they're feeling based on the things that they're doing that are contributing to that. And that's a hard thing to do. And I really wanted people to be able to get some objectivity on the process for themselves by reading this book. And I force the reader to stop every few pages and make an assessment of their own lives. Okay, what did you just learn? Now, how am I going to apply this?
People can go to your website and you have their options of how you will work with people. First, people should get your book. It's a great read. It's really easy to read. It's fun to read. And the examples that you give are all interesting. But on your website, they can find out exactly what functional diagnostic nutrition is and exactly how to, the services you offer. You review a person's personal history. And what else do you do?
First of all, if you're interested in health coaching with me, please go to my website and you can click on the button to set up a discovery call with me. It's completely complimentary. We'll spend 30 minutes in a Zoom call and I'll get to learn about you and what's going on in your world and how maybe I can help you. And for my clients who get started, we will spend probably 2 hours together that first session going through copious questionnaires that I send to new clients, but learning about your family history, your personal history, diet, your stress, all of these things. I'll take a look at all the lab work your doctor's ordered for you over the last year or so. And together, we're going to map out a plan for the next few months. How are we going to change what you're eating, how you're moving? What testing might we consider? I usually don't talk about supplements in that first session because it's really important that we lay the groundwork first. And then after that, I work with people every other week. We have a meeting and we have touch points throughout the month to make sure that you're staying on track with the projects that we're working on.
And it's good having this kind of working with somebody is sometimes the best thing that you can do, because it's like my Marine, he was so good because in the mornings when you'd get there at 5 o'clock, if you didn't look like you were in shape and ready to go, he would give you a lecture as only a Marine can do.
No, that accountability is so important. I mean, it's nice to know that somebody's curious and wants to know, did you eat the right breakfast this morning? Did you go get your walk this morning? Like, those little things make a huge difference. If it's just you by yourself, it can be hard. So it might be as simple as just asking your spouse or your best friend to check in on you. Hey, can I text you twice a week and let you know that I'm on track with what I'm trying to accomplish here? Those sorts of things make a huge difference in your success over the long term.
Okay, your website is dfitlife, with just a little letter, dfitlife. And the name of Daniela's book is Own Your Wellness, Giving You the Tools to Break Through Your Health Plateaus. And it is by Daniela Dayu-Forrest, and it's available online. And it's really well written, very easy to read, and inspirational.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
It's been a joy to talk to you. I knew I needed to keep you for the whole hour. Usually my interviews are half an hour, and I thought, there's no way.
You make it so easy. I could have talked to you as long as you needed.
I think your enthusiasm and your attitude is exactly what people need. You're encouraging and you're inspirational. And I think it's beautiful what you've done with this book. I just got a kick out of it. Really wonderful book. And I hope people will get it and be healthy and be strong and be happy, because find the joy in life. And part of that is getting up there and getting out and enjoying just getting yourself moving.
And I would love to hear how people are doing with the book. You know, if you've picked it up and you've made some changes, send me an email, find me on social media. Please let me know how you're doing. I just love hearing these stories. They make me so happy.
Yeah, people do that. Take a picture of yourself holding the book and send it to Daniela, because I think you've done a great job with this book, and it's been an absolute joy to talk to you.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now. Danielle Dayu Forest, a wonderful book.